Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's my senior year of seminary. And all of us wannabe preachers huddle around the boardroom table in Calvin Seminary's boardroom. We've just come in from next door listening to a classmate try his hand at a sermon in the chapel. It didn't go well. By the way, seminary's brutal with that. Preaching in front of seminarians. Worst thing ever. But it didn't go well. And he sits beside the professor with his head down, staring hard at the coffee rings on the boardroom table. His sermon was a mess of abstractions, wordy clouds swimming above our heads and bumping into the chapel rafters. And our professor squints through his fig-shaped glasses. He holds his elbows tucked in against his ribs and his hands rest together, palms downward. Shakes his graying head and he begins to gesture with his thick hands. His voice comes out in a nasal West Michigan quack. You don't want your sermons to be abstract. They need to be concrete, particular, specific. I mean, if you say, God loves everyone, I mean, that's true, but it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't land. It doesn't really apply. But if you say, God loves the woman with that bag of oranges fumbling with her keys outside of Walmart, it applies to everybody. Everybody fumbles with their keys. Everybody's got that bag of oranges. Everybody's been outside of Walmart. Specific. It applies. And the professor wrinkles his L-shaped nose. So you see, here's the thing. If you try to make your sermon apply to everybody, it'll apply to nobody. But if you make your sermon apply to one person, it'll apply to every person. And it's true. We've all heard those sermons, and I have preached a few of those sermons that trade in abstract phrases and ideas. Sermons filled with wordy clouds swimming above our heads and bumping into the chapel rafters. Everything the preacher or priest says is true, but the statements don't really land. They don't apply in the flesh and blood and spit and bone of our everyday lives. They don't apply when my newborn has a blowout on Christmas Day in her bassinet. True story. They don't apply when I'm on my way to my doctor's appointment and the teenager in front of me is too busy texting to turn left when the light turns green. This is the hidden mystery of preaching. It's only when a sermon is concrete and specific, particular, that we have an epiphany. This is about me. This is for me. God is revealing himself to me. Well, this morning we are in the season of Epiphany. And in this season we confront another mystery. Sometimes people will ask, and especially right now given the news about Israel and Hamas and Gaza and all that, this particular question seems to come up a lot. Why did God only appear in ancient times to the Jews? Why did he reveal himself only to this tiny cluster of 12 immature tribes? I mean, isn't that unfair? What about the ancient Sumerians with their amazing technology? What about the peoples of the South American interior? What about the tribes in the Himalayas? Why didn't God make a universal personal revelation of himself as the triune one? Why did Israel alone receive the glories of the law? Mount Sinai, the personal appearance of God. Why not just the abstract phrase, God loves everyone? I mean, it is true, isn't it? So why only Israel? In our epistle reading this morning, St. Paul acknowledges the mystery. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." That is, and this is the mystery, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In other words, St. Paul observes that in the eras of Moses and Joshua, David and Nehemiah, God revealed himself only to the Hebrew people. And while he did give evidence of himself to others in the delight of stars and seas and animals and earth, it was only to Israel that he spoke his personal name, Yahweh. I am who I am. Only Israel had that epiphany. It's about me. It's for me. This is a hidden mystery, says Paul, not revealed in times past. So why did God announce himself to a particular people, to a concrete single nation in times past, and not to the whole world? Well, this morning, God himself mounts the pulpit. He takes a sip from the glass of water. He clears his throat. And God begins to preach. And his sermon fills the sanctuary with ordinary words. There are no abstract phrases, wordy clouds swimming above our heads and bumping into the rafters. God loves everyone. True, but abstract. No, instead, his sermon is concrete and specific. It has flesh and bone. It has spit and blood. It is the tale of a single people and a single man. A Jew born in a little hamlet southwest of Jerusalem. The sermon is about one person from one people group. It's not an idea, not an abstract political platform, not even a soaring argument to get a crowd whipped into a frenzy. God preaches Jesus. A Jew, a real, concrete person, fumbling with oranges and keys outside of Walmart. It's all specific. This particular Jewish man, Jesus, who squalls as the Persian magicians lay sweet-smelling incense on the dirt floor. This particular Jewish man, Jesus, who wrinkles his baby brow and squints one eye at those same magicians, bobbing their turbans to the ground in reverence. The story speaks in the patterns of our own lives, and so it speaks into our own lives. You see, for salvation to apply to all the peoples of the world, for everyone to have one of those epiphanies, this is for me. It has to apply to one people through one person. If salvation is just a universal kind of abstract system, it applies to no one. But because salvation is of the Jews through a single Jew, it applies to everyone. To the Visigoth with his untrimmed mustache, to the Persian sage with his scribbled astrological notes, to the teenager with the hair combed forward to cover an explosion of acne, to the grandmother in the nursing home with brittle bones, to the middle-aged woman with gas station coffee heading to a miserable job. This is the mystery of God's sermon in the season of Epiphany. God reveals himself to the wise men Gentiles through a single child from the single people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God preaches a single people, Abraham's seed, with all of its wranglings and hiccups. He preaches David's wayward line, traveling from throne to prison to carpentry. The Almighty preaches Jesus, himself enfleshed, made concrete, particular, a particular Jew, while Caesar Augustus eats grapes and stamps his signet ring on tax memos. And as God preaches this particular Jew, Jesus, all across the globe, suddenly we Gentiles have an epiphany. This is for me. This is about me. This man is for me. It's not abstract out there, doesn't land. It's for me. He is for me. God preaches a sermon that applies to us because it applies to Israel. And so St. Paul writes, "To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him." For salvation to be universal, it has to be particular, like a sermon. You can't just say God loves everybody. You have to say God loves the woman fumbling with her keys, trying to hold the oranges in the Walmart parking lot. Because if it applies to one person, it will apply to all persons. But if it just kind of is abstract out there, it doesn't really apply to anyone. And so God offers hope. Hope to every nation and every people through one person, through one people. God preaches a concrete sermon. Jesus the Jew. So that you and I can be saved. And that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.